Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of Data Exposed. I've got Torsten here. We're going to talk about an exciting topic that we've actually talked about before, but this is going to be a special one. Torsten, why don't you introduce yourself and we'll go from there.
Hello everybody, my name is Torsten Grabs and I'm a program manager on the Azure SQL Database team. It's great to be here today.
Wonderful. We're excited to have you just because this is an exciting topic. Again, we've talked about this before, but I think this is the reason we have you here is because this is a topic that we want to, especially given around the new announcements around the service tiers and SQL Database and things like that, this is a topic that people are very interested in, and specifically around partitioning and sharding and things like that, and how do we do that. And it gives us flexibility around the new service tiers. So let's jump in and just talk about Elastic Scale around Azure SQL Database.
Yep. So if you think about scaling in the cloud in general, it's a key value proposition for cloud applications and the cloud platform to be elastic around scale. And I think we've, over the years, done an increasingly better job for compute and also just storage. But if you think about scaling out your data tier with relational database systems running in Azure DB, that's still a challenge, at least up to now. So we have looked at that problem, and what we have learned is that sharding is actually a very common practice out there in the industry.
People are typically kind of either rolling their own, right? Run into the challenges around sharding, right?
Yeah, and it's if you want to do it right, and if you want to do it with great performance at scale, you actually have to write a lot of code yourself to make sharding work for your application.
Okay, yeah.
And that takes the focus away from the business logic that you are supposed to put into your interior app. So what we have thought is there's actually value if you provided sharding capabilities out of the box as part of the product.
Yeah, just kind of plug and play, let me go, right? Don't have to worry about, you know, all the characteristics and really challenges around sharding. Let me just, you know, plug and play and go.
Ideally, yes. So there are two key personas that we had in mind when we started thinking about that. The first one, obviously, is a developer that has to build the application, the cloud application. And we're targeting the developer by providing a set of client libraries that you basically put into your application that give you the sharding capabilities.
Right.
And that helps you to avoid a lot of the boilerplate code that you had to write when you were doing self-sharding. In addition to the client libraries, we are also giving you a set of services, service templates that you can drop into your Azure subscription and that help you manage your sharded cloud application at scale.
Perfect. Yeah, so, and kind of the, you know, why we're thinking about, you know, the promises of cloud computing, right? That unlimited scalability, you don't have to worry about building the code in your own, right? And just, you know, plays into very well the pay-as-you-go model, right? Let me use the resources that I want to use and give those back, stop paying when I give those resources back.
Exactly,
So you can grow benefits.
Yeah, you can grow your application and your data tier as your capacity needs increase, and as your capacity needs go down, you can shrink it back again.
Yeah, and let me focus on just my application. I don't have to worry and think about all the characteristics of scalability.
Correct.
Let me focus on my application and my database.
Yes, that's the goal for us.
Yep.
That you as a developer, it's much easier to build these sharded applications. You as a DevOps person or an admin, it's much easier for you to manage an application that has lots of shards, lots of databases.
Yep, and so this is a library you guys have been working on for some time now. Good news is it's in public preview as of today.
Yep.
Right?
That's correct.
This is great. So the, and we'll take a look at in the next few slides, we'll take a look at kind of the architecture of what that is. But you know, that what we want to do is encourage people, if you need that scalability, download the preview, start playing with it, and we'll actually do a demo and show you how to do
that. Yeah, we'll tell you where to find
the libraries,
how to get to the bits. So here I just threw together a quick overview of what's actually part of the public preview right now, what are the capabilities that we offer through Elastic Scale. And I was already mentioning the distinction between the client APIs, the libraries that you use in your application, and the services that you drop into your Azure subscription. So that's reflected here. Mm-hmm. And there's some key things that some key capabilities. The first one is shard map management. How do I actually register all these databases, all these shards?
Yeah.
How do I know where a particular range, let's say, of customers or a particular range of dates, where that data is kept and what's the right shard for it?
Mm-hmm.
So that's shard map management. The second capability is around data-dependent routing. So a request comes into your application. How do I know what chart to route that request to have it processed?
Yep.
So that's a capability that depends on the shard map, uses the information that's stored in the shard
map.
And
as you scale out, scale in, that shard map gets updated because customer ID 10 could be here today and in another shard tomorrow, right?
Absolutely.
And so as you scale up, that's dynamically cached so that we don't have to worry about, hey, where's this customer from today, tomorrow?
And actually, what's interesting is for multi-tenant cloud service vendors, you can actually also have spikes for some of the tenants that you're hosting. And it may turn out that you have to move a particular tenant off a shard because it's getting too busy on that shard. And again, those are capabilities where the shard map helps you because you can dynamically allocate that tenant to a different shard and the shard map knows about it. And that will make sure that data-dependent routing does the right job and the right thing for you. So data-dependent routing is great if you have requests or transactions that go into a single shard. Now, oftentimes you have some transactions or some reporting needs that need to stretch across a number of shards.
Yep.
And that's where multi-shard queries come into
I need to give me the top 10 salespeople for 2013. And those top 10 salespeople could be in any number of shards, right?
Exactly, yeah. And rather than you writing connections to all the shards yourself, we rather give you a connection abstraction where you tell us, this is the set of shards over which I want to run this query.
Right against. Yep.
And we process the query for you, and we assemble an all-up result for you.
Perfect.
And we're using Union All Semantics to do that.
Yeah, very needed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, so those are the capabilities that you'll find in the libraries. Now, the focus for us on the management services side right now is splitting and merging.
Yeah.
So assuming that you have a set of shards or a shard sitting there that's getting close to capacity, you can use the split functionality of that service once you've deployed it into your Azure subscription to tease that apart and, for instance, move a range of tenants into a completely new database so that you can offload
That's the elasticity, scale up, scale down, right?
Growing exactly, yep. And merge is just the other operation that you can do. If you have a number of underutilized shards, you can use merge to merge them together and move the data from these different tenants into one single place. And then at some point, once you're done with all the data movement operations, you can release those databases back.
Perfect.
What's nice about this is the split merge service works in tandem with shard map management. So it takes care of the data movement for you, but it also
updates your shard map.
Updates your shard map. You obviously want
excellent.
That too.
Yeah. Yes. That's perfect. You don't want your shard map out of date.
Yeah.
Right. That's wonderful. Okay.
All right. In addition to that, we have a set of tools and samples to go along with that. For instance, for those customers that are coming from Azure SQL DB federations, we have a sample that tells you how to migrate into Elasticsearch. And then we have a sample around how you can dynamically dial up or down the service tier on individual
perfect.
Shards based on the telemetry that you observe.
Wonderful. Now, these are interesting topics, right? The whole I'd love to have you back to talk about some of these specifically, right?
Yep.
To talk about, how do you grow, shrink, how do you scale in, scale out? How do you migrate your SQL federations
perfect.
From
yep.
this to the, to this new library? I can see several shows. I'd love to have you back to talk about some of these in more detail. So this is fantastic.
Perfect.
Yep.
Cool. So should we dive into maybe some of the
absolutely.
The topics up here, like chart map management
sure.
and data-dependent routing?
Absolutely.
So before we do that, here's a little overview just to give you a visual impression of how this all adds up.
Yep.
So down here in the green area, you see all these shards, and the number of shards grows and shrinks as you split and merge. That's obviously a capability that is targeted towards the admin or the DevOps persona. Here on the left in the orange area, you have the application itself. It uses our client library to do requests and transactions on single shards. That's the data-dependent routing aspect.
Yep.
And then up here are the cross-shard operations, multi-shard querying.
Yeah, wonderful.
All right.
Kind of a complete library that encompasses all the components needed to do the elastic scale out, right?
Exactly.
The shard management, the grow and shrink capabilities, right? The elastic scales, okay. And, and right, really, the shard map management. As I scale out and scale out, how do I write that back to the shard map? So all the components wrapped into a nice little library.
library on the left, and then also the managed services, yep, for you and your Azure subscription, mm-hmm, on the right. Okay, so let's talk a little bit about shard maps. There are two kinds of shard maps. One is what we call a range shard map, where you basically divide your set of customer IDs or tenant IDs or date ranges into sets of contiguous values. And then you map this range of values, or each range of values, to a shard. So for instance, customer 1 to 100 goes to the first shard, 100 to 200 goes to the second shard, and so on.
You're talking range here.
This is an example of a range shard map down here. Yep. For some folks, list shard maps work better, where you basically just have a customer ID, and for each individual customer ID, you decide what shard to store that customer on.
Okay.
So you don't talk about ranges, you talk about individual IDs, and you manage each ID individually.
Okay.
Now, all that metadata about the allocation of your customer IDs or tenant IDs to the different shards is stored in the shard map. The shard map lives in a just regular SQL Server database, and we store the metadata in a set of tables. So no surprises there. If you want, you can actually go and look at those tables yourself.
Okay.
In terms of the partitioning keys or sharding keys that we support, we currently support 4 different data types: int, bigint, GUIDs, and var binary.
Excellent. Okay.
So, and we'll see a shard map at work in just a second.
So, not to put you on the spot, is there, what about things like sequences and things like that? Is that maybe on the roadmap, or is there a reason those aren't supported right now? Or?
Well, sequences and IDs are a challenge, in particular if you want to have globally unique IDs. If you're basically allocating the IDs individually within each database, then you cannot make them globally unique. What typically works well is if you add the sharding key itself into any kind of uniqueness predicate, because then that makes it globally unique.
Okay.
Because each tenant only exists once in your whole universe, and then if you issue IDs locally plus the sharding key, the tenant ID,
that makes sense.
That makes it globally unique.
Yep. Okay, good. That makes sense.
Awesome. All right, let's spend a minute on data-dependent routing. So data-dependent routing, you have a shard map in place. The shard map stores the mapping for your ranges or for your IDs to the shards.
Mm-hmm.
You can use that then to route requests or transactions in your application to the appropriate shard.
Okay.
And that's what you basically see here. In comes a request from customer ID 104. How do I know where customer 104 lives? Well, the shard map knows. It can tell you, oh, it's on the second database, on the second shard down here. Now, what's interesting about this is you obviously don't want to do a lookup into your shard map database every time a new request comes in, because then this becomes a bottleneck.
Yep.
Very, very quickly.
Yep.
So we have some smarts in place in our libraries that allow us to cache the shard map in the client application. We also put it on the shard itself, and that allows us to avoid these round trips into the global shard map. And we have a cache invalidation scheme at work that makes sure that as you are doing changes on your shard map and the allocation, that the cache gets invalidated.
Okay.
So that's from a performance perspective something that I find very, very neat and very, very important.
Yeah, very valid, because if this becomes the bottleneck, your performance of the application, you've got thousands of clients hitting this one database.
Yep.
Bottleneck, your performance degrades, right?
Yeah.
And
you could have hundreds, maybe even thousands of shards
down
there. So lots of transactions, very high workload.
Yep.
Great. So we have basically an API here that embeds all of that functionality into one single call that opens a connection to the right shard using that caching infrastructure.
Fantastic.
That I just described.
Okay. Good. Yeah, I like this layout. This is provides, again, because we're caching here, this doesn't become a bottleneck.
Yep.
Great performance. It allows for much broader, much bigger scalability as well. Yeah. Good.
All right. Should we take a look at this?
Let's look at this in action.
In action. So, first of all, I want to show you how you can set up a set of shards. So here I'm in the Azure portal.
Oh, yep.
And we are looking at a server that I have created for this demo. It's this guy here. Mm-hmm. And I have pre-created 16 shards in here. All of them are running an S0 standard edition, okay. Standard tier. And I've registered these 16 shards already in my shard map. And down here at the very bottom, you actually see the database that's storing the shard map manager.
Oh,
so
perfect.
That's this
okay.
guy here. And it knows about all of the others. Each shard has a partition of the AdventureWorks data in there. It's partitioned right now by customer ID. So in total, we have something like 30,000 customers in there using the customer table from AdventureWorks
yep.
and we have to split
all
it
partitioned across
yep.
all 16 of these
yes.
Shards.
Yep. Across all 16 of those guys. Let me run an application here. And what the application does in the background is generating transactions against AdventureWorks that are running in the background. And here in the UI, what I'm just rendering is a sort of a heat map that tells you which shard is getting what traffic, how many transactions are
okay.
processed there. So let me start this. And you can see that shard IDs are showing up as transactions are getting routed into these different places. And oops, there are colors popping up as well.
Wow.
So what the color coding does is basically just for demo purposes showing which shards are receiving more traffic than others. Those are the red guys.
Yep.
The green guys are the ones that are receiving fewer transactions than the others.
Yeah.
And you may notice that shard 2, shard 3, shard 4, shard 5 over time should see more load than the others.
Okay.
There's a reason for that. So those shards are hosting more customer IDs than the other shards.
Okay.
And for an Elastic application, that's actually interesting information because it may indicate to you, these shards are overutilized, and you might want to think about splitting that shard.
Yeah, these guys might, the shards in red would make good candidates to, hey, we might want to think about high transactions or they're reaching yep. the threshold. We yep. might want to, these are the good candidates yep. for maybe sharding those.
Yep. yep. And the green ones are the ones where you're not getting as much traffic. Those might be great candidates for a merge operation at some point.
Oh yeah, so okay, so these might be, hey, we don't, let's save some money. These guys aren't
exactly.
being utilized that much.
Exactly. Yep.
Maybe merge shards 8 and 9, for example.
Yep. Yep.
This is fantastic. So good visualization about how we can,
yep.
you know.
It's a simplistic visualization. So obviously you would want to do that through the DMVs that we are providing
mm-hmm.
rather than just simplistic transaction counters, but it gives you an impression of what to
right.
look for. And these outliers in terms of the workload are yeah. definitely interesting.
Yeah, and so there's specific topics that I think we need to dive into at another time, talking about, you know, how do you do that scale out, scale in? You know, what's the logic behind that? Dive deep into that, right? How do we take from SQL Federation to mm-hmm. this new library? This is a great visualization and gives us a good idea of, you know, how we, from a visualization standpoint, what happens to our shards? You know, what gets hot, what gets not?
Yeah.
And what can we do around that with the library?
Yeah, that's definitely a great topic.
Mm-hmm.
Let's jump into the code real quick, just
yep.
so that you get an impression of what is at work. So here, we're in Visual Studio. You see over in the references section, I've added the Elastic Scale Client library
yep.
to my application. That gives me all of these great capabilities that we talked about. Shard map management, data dependent routing, multi-shard
data
querying,
movement, yep.
All of that is there. Data movement is actually in the split merge service, so that comes with a separate NuGet package.
Oh, okay.
I'll show that in just a second.
Perfect.
And what you see here in the code is I'm basically throwing a random number between 1 and 30,000 that gives me a random customer ID. Typically, that customer ID would come in from a session context in your application,
sure.
whoever logged into your app. But based on that, I'm going to my range shard map, which is this guy here,
mm-hmm.
which I've defined through the Elastic Scale Client libraries. And I'm using the open connection for key call, which is our data dependent routing call. And what I'm the parameters that I'm giving this call is this random customer ID.
Yep.
And that basically tells the data dependent routing functionality to figure out where in the shard map, where is that customer stored? And then it can open a regular SQL client ADO.NET
connection
to that.
To that shard?
To that shard. It uses the cache behind the scenes to do that efficiently. And it also, when it goes and connects to the shard, makes sure that this customer still lives on that shard. So this is the validation parameter that you see here.
Oh, very nice.
So for instance, if you make up your mind and say, oh, I actually want to move that customer to a different shard while this transaction is going on, we would figure this out in the shard map, and we would kill that connection if it conflicts with a split or merge operation.
Someone could be executing a statement against that shard while in this small window of time, you actually decide we need to move this guy to another shard.
Exactly.
Okay. Yeah.
So we do care about consistency and consistent views into the data and your shards. And we help you doing that if you go through those APIs.
Fantastic.
And that's really all that you need to do. It gives you, as I mentioned, it gives you back just a regular SQL connection.
Yep.
And on that connection, you can do whatever you want to do. Call, execute, non-query, open up data readers, and so on and so
forth. And what I like about this, it's nice and concise, right? Here's what all I need to do to say, okay, go get where does this guy live?
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
Really two lines of code, actually. Line of code.
That's really the only change that you have to do for data-dependent routing to the typical pattern that you see with the SQL client libraries where
Fantastic.
You have a connection, you use a command, and you use a data reader. All of that works just for the connection creation, use this call.
Yep.
That's the only change.
Now, you talked about this library. If someone wants to, since it's in preview, how does someone go get this library to start playing with it?
Perfect. Let me show you real quick. So we use NuGet to distribute our bits. Here we are on NuGet. You just simply type Elasticscale into the search on NuGet.org. And it will search for our libraries. When it shows up, you will see that there are two packages. The first one here is the split merge service that we talked about, which basically gives you the package for a cloud service that you drop into your Azure subscription. You spin up your own service in your own subscription, and you can really configure it the way that you want, also from a security perspective. And then they point it at your shard map, and then you can use it to do split and merge operations on your shard map. The second one.
Sorry to interrupt.
Yeah.
So this is the management piece that we were talking about on the slide, right?
Yep. Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
Now, from the management service, there's ways to tell the service at what point can we scale in, scale out, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yep.
Right. Yep. This would be a good one to have you back and talk about that
Happy
specifically.
To. Yes.
All right.
Happy to.
Yep.
And this is the one, the client libraries that we just spent some time looking into.
Yep.
Let me pull this up real quick. So here. If you go to the project site link over here, it will pull up our documentation overview. So you see here all the various different topics around Elasticscale, shard map, data-dependent routing, multi-shard querying. They're all there. If you are new to Elasticscale, just follow the first link here. It takes you to our Getting Started topic. And the Getting Started topic goes hand in hand with a sample that we have on the Visual Studio Gallery. And it's very straightforward. You you fire up Visual Studio. You go into the online, you say new project, go into the online sample section, search for Elasticscale, and you'll find the Getting Started, sample there.
Okay. So you've actually made it very easy for people to get started, right? NuGet package, here's some documentation.
Yep.
This is very nice. If you're new to Elasticscale and want to get started, or are somewhat familiar with Elasticscale but want to know how to use this new library, you've made it very easy for people to become familiar with how to use this new library, which is very nice. Okay. Lots of good code, lots of good samples about how to use that. So this is very nice for people to get started with this. Okay, so there's one last question before we finish here. We did a video not too long ago with Sean about the patterns and practices around scaling out, right? Mm-hmm. So we just did this video. What are the differences between what people see here versus what we see in the previous video? Why would someone use this versus those patterns and practices? And the reason I think we're asking this, I think there's going to be some confusion. I think we just need to get to clear up some of that confusion.
I don't think it's actually that difficult. I think it's really a question around where do you want to roll your own, and where do you want to pick up libraries that and pre-canned services that we give you. What I would suggest is that you check out the libraries and the management services that we provide for ElasticScale. And if they do the right job for you, then that's great. Yep. Continue using them. It will save you a ton of work to write your own code. Mm-hmm. If you're not happy with some aspects of it, our bits are actually pretty loosely coupled. So you can throw out individual aspects or capabilities and then replace them with self-sharding capabilities that you pick up from Sean, where you have to write your own code then. In terms of the concepts and the underlying architecture, we are using exactly the same approach. So it's sharded, and it's really a question about, do you write the code yourself, or do you pick up libraries? Yeah.
So that's a good point, because a lot of the concepts and nomenclature that you saw in this video matched exactly what you saw in Sean's video, right? Mm-hmm. Some of the shard key, shard map, things like that. Yeah. So I think that's a good explanation. If you just need a simple plug and play, right, from NuGet, and if that works for you, great. But if there's additional features or functionality, or need the granularity of rolling your own, and need that some specific features, then maybe that patterns of practices will work there.
This has actually been quite intentional. So Sean and our team have been working pretty closely together on establishing the same language, the same terminology, and the same patterns to make it easier for folks to understand.
Yeah, perfect. So just to clear up the confusion out there, there's what the patterns of practice does provide some great guidance as to if you need to implement some sharding on your own. Mm-hmm. Here's what you do. Take some of that some of that functionality into the library, and if you need to, if this will work, great, it's fantastic. Okay, and if you have any questions about some of the differences and things like that, feel free to reach out to myself or Torsten. Happy to answer those questions. I think there's going to be this is a topic that will, I think, especially with the new service tiers and the new the predictable performance and things like that, you will see this starting getting some traction a lot. Mm-hmm. So I think there's going to be we need to clear up that confusion as to when you would use one over the other. So again, if you have any questions, feel free to reach out to myself or Torsten, and we'll happy to point you in the right direction.
That sounds good.
Good, great. Thanks for watching, and we'll see you next time.
Thank you. Bye-bye.